Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
B-B.
Boom, B-B.
Boom, B-B.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmitz and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmitz, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, Jay Moore, TJ Henning, producing, engineering, contributing. Busy one today. Hope your weekend was all right. Some of you nervous. Some of you worried about this Minnesota game, and Nebraska kind of did what they do. That's why I liken them to a python. I always think of the Hulkster.
Okay.
36-inch python. They just smother you and squeeze whatever comes out of you in the second half defensively and offensively, and they win. And there's a certain beauty to their ruggedness. It is Big Ten football. It's not basketball on grass. And it was a toughest man competition with Goldie. And Nebraska won that thing. And it was crisp and chilly. And everyone got revved up before that kickoff at 6:30. Really great from the crowd. And Nebraska able to move on and be 8-2. Michael Bruns is coming up. 24/7 sports, recruiting thoughts. Husker basketball thoughts. That was on last night. I had one eye on Husker hoops, one eye on Seattle, and the Seahawks one, which was cool in the household because
the sea chickens,
the two little trolls that I live with, were holding their breath. Charlie McBride 1 hour from now, and then senior wideout Brandon Riley, Pride of Lincoln Southwest. He will join us, kind of reflect on his time at Nebraska, spend a few minutes talking about his journey. So Brandon Riley with us in hour two. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Couple of things to clean up for you. One, your chance to win a premium subscription for 6 months to HailVarsity.com, a premium online subscription. We'll do that giveaway here before six. We'll do two. We'll do one this hour, one next hour, since I was a bad monkey on Saturday morning and didn't do one. So we'll do two. One this hour, one next hour, to get yourself a six-month premium online Hail Varsity subscription. You'll enjoy the site and the message boards and the content for sure. Secret Husker in 1 hour. I will say a name you will need to remember and then call Gregeth and Smith tomorrow morning. I will say a name, a Husker, and you'll need to store that in the brain and then spit it out tomorrow about 11 o'clock. Conversely, they'll give you a name tomorrow morning, and I will ask for it 24 hours from now. So that's what's happening. And that wins you crab cakes and football versus Nebraska tickets. Yay, Maryland's coming. Let's spend a few minutes.
Yay, for 11 a.m. kickoff, my favorite.
You like those.
I love them.
You love playing them.
Yeah, get in and get out.
Yeah.
Go about your business.
ESPN News.
Yeah, that was a little, I was shocked by that one, actually. I'm like, I had to think for a second. Do I even have ESPN News?
I don't know if I do either. You blame Ohio State.
It's going to be a muted game because they're going to have someone, they're going to just be no good. And I cannot handle
You're already
people.
Throwing that grenade?
Oh.
And they might not even be there.
Right.
Maybe call it back at like some studio in Bristol.
Yeah, likely.
Good call, actually.
Yeah, stay home.
Yuck.
So stay home in Bristol and do that game. I hope not. Send people here, for God's sake. Okay, Nebraska and Minnesota. Listen, Goldie is good as advertised with their ability to play clean football, physical football, and really stress you and really make you play almost perfect. Mm-hmm. Nebraska didn't do that. The opening drive for Minnesota, really frustrating. They threw the football. I think Leidner was 6 of 7. Wolitarski, we'll just call him Woogie. Woogie could not be stopped. He's 6'3 in the slot. There were some issues there. Smith was really good at cutting back. And then Nebraska, Jay Bird, gets gets nasty in the second half. On some third and shorts, Minnesota unable to convert. Nebraska still didn't get home with some pass rush situations. But the Williams and Williams Law Firm of Protecting the End Zone did a great job of coming up with that game-finishing pick. Flip it around. We'll discuss this. Was that Tommy Armstrong's best game as a Husker? It's a fair question to ask because what he did, what he meant, Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week honors. Now he gutted another one out in response to a really bad one. Was incredible. So we'll talk about Tommy. It's kind of a legacy week to discuss because it is senior day on Saturday. But, you know, Nebraska just did their thing in the second half was that blueprint they used. A couple of big-time touchdown drives. They held onto the football. They got three and outs. They got a turnover, and they scored the final 14 points. And, Bird, you can talk about this, man. How hard is it to shut out a team in the second half? Because Nebraska, while they trailed the last four games at half, they've also allowed minimal points in the second half. There's been a couple of instances where teams have been shut out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, kudos to Nebraska and what they did defensively.
Yeah, it was – I mean, they played pretty well majority of the game. Listen, Minnesota, in every defense, you know, you have to choose – pick and choose your battles. And Minnesota's like, all right, you're going to give us this, we're going to take it until you don't. I mean, that was the whole bubble screen kind of game. That's just kind of the way Nebraska plays their quarters defense.
And Nebraska did it to them, too.
Right, exactly. No doubt. So I know some people are get a little frustrated with that, but overall, if you have anything I'd be frustrated with defensively, it's probably just still the lack of pass rush. It's just sometimes just
– the guys seem like they're right there.
They're getting close. They just can't seal the deal, and it's hard. I mean, it's honestly getting the quarterback in the pocket because you don't ever really get to practice it. Honestly, you think about it,
okay.
You know, you always get a practice.
You can
beating.
Practice it once and then you're running stadiums.
Right. You always, exactly. Yeah. That's a given.
Don't hit the quarterback.
Right. You always get a practice beating offensive linemen, but you usually finish on a dummy, a GA. You're never taking them to the ground. So it's really tough to finish. We got close a couple of times, but defensively overall played really well. I mean, you're not seeing. They're not Ohio State's offense by any means. But the deal when you're playing a team like Minnesota is they just chip away. They chip away. They chip away. It's second and six, third and three, first down. Second and seven.
It's Groundhog Day.
Third and two, first down. There's no explosive plays. It's all of a sudden, it's like, holy smokes, they had the ball for 7 minutes and they scored a touchdown.
And you're wore out.
Right. And you're like, and they just eat up the clock. They eat up the time of possession. They don't make mistakes. They don't shoot themselves in the foot. They don't turn it over. I think Minnesota was plus 12 on the year.
Yes.
In turnover category. They're just phenomenal in that category. Tracy Clays is just – that's the way they played it with Clays or with Kill. It was a mistake-free ball. You're going to have to – we're not going to beat ourselves. It's a great way to build a program. But with Minnesota, it's just you got to be able to get off the field on third down. And honestly, early in the game, Nebraska struggled with that just because they just kept converting those third and fours, third and five, third and sixes. And it wasn't, you know, big plays. It's, God dang, they got it by 2 or 3 yards. You know, it was just the
same.
They
knew where to go with the ball, and they
went to those high percentage.
Right. They needed to.
Right. You get the high percentage plays. And that's what a team like Minnesota does. But we were able to kind of hunker down, make some plays, get off the field when we needed to, and that's good. I mean, you make some adjustments at half like we've been making majority of the year, maybe except for the Ohio State game. I don't think any adjustment could have been made on that
get
one.
Get on the bus.
Right, exactly. But that's. I mean, you play pretty clean defensively. You finished the game overall, plus one in the turnover category. That's always a great thing. Offensively, you got some things going. You saw the bubble screen game work. The screen game also looked pretty damn good with the newbie getting the touchdown on that. You saw the 4th-and-2 conversion with Trey Bryant. That was a great call. I mean, overall, it was a pretty well clean ball game by Nebraska. You know, they played. It wasn't great. It wasn't earth-shattering by any means. But you knew it was going to be this type of game against Minnesota. They're going to muddy it up a little bit. They're going to try to, you know, they're going to be methodical in how they do things. And you just have to hang in there, and take advantage of your opportunities. And Nebraska did that.
And there was stress attached to that because you didn't know how many more times you'd get the ball back because of what they do on offense, just the time of possession game, the keep away side of things. And Nebraska, when they had the ball, they had to score. They had to score to tie it at 17. They had to score to go ahead and win it 24-17. They did that. And one thing that I want to take away most from this game is, look, a storyline all last week we hit on and talked about, and you were great at explaining it, coming off of a tough loss. First and foremost, don't, even when you're getting blown out, don't put bad film out there. Mm-hmm. You were really good with just, listen, it's going to follow you. So you might as well sell out, even if it's not going your way.
Right.
But two, it's a lot easier said than done to move on. You put a lot of eggs as a team in the basket of, let's go get Wisconsin. Let's go get Ohio State. Let's be champs. Let's go play in Indy. That can still happen because you beat Minnesota. But in past years, you didn't always respond great. You'd have a tough November, mm-hmm. or you'd run into some landmines, or maybe you just didn't give Minnesota the proper respect in some prep. And they are guys that don't jack around. They don't mess around. They just want to beat your face in. Mm-hmm. And are you going to wilt, or are you going to step up and throw a punch back? And I'm going all cliche here, so I'm sorry about that. But this was a completely losable game.
Oh, without a doubt.
Last year was a weird ball game because Nebraska jumped out when they looked dead in the water and scored almost half a hundred.
What game? Was the Wisconsin, or excuse me, the Minnesota game last year after the Illinois game? Is that when it was?
Yeah.
I can't remember. I was just trying to put that together.
Then they turn around and lose to Northwestern at home last year after beating Minnesota. Oh,
that's right.
So it's weird. So this was a completely losable game. Right now, we could be talking about 7-3 instead of 8-2, and that's a huge difference because you feel good about your team at 8-2. You're still ranked. You're still in it until you're not, which some things are out of your control. The Iowa game got a little sexier because of what they did to Michigan. I have no clue how that happened, but that was smash-mouth football. Then you have Maryland this week no one cares about. You don't care about it. You may get more intrigued by it, but their stud quarterback may or may not go. Tommy Armstrong's been big time, but how healthy will he be? But above all, the perseverance you show and coming back from an embarrassing loss. Characters talked about a lot, but truly to come back and play a game that is so physical where you got to be almost perfect with your response drives or got to be perfect on third down, because you know how Minnesota, like you said, is going to chip away. The way they bounce back is great. And I want to say three things here about Nate Gary, Banderas, Armstrong. Tommy was gutsy all week, and he is who he is with just that competitive spirit. But guys like Gary and Banderas are two guys that I don't know how well they reacted at Ohio State. And it's not just all on them, but they're your seniors. Mm-hmm. That's who guys that are younger look to.
Mm-hmm.
They reacted and played their guts out on Saturday night, especially Bando. And Gary's just been awesome as well. So the way they bounce back, it's easier said than done about the hangover, the emotion. Because, I mean, think about something that you've been building for your whole life to overemphasize this and to have it turn out awful, just completely horrible. That's what happened to them 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But to come back against a team that's going to just try and knock your teeth out, that's so good. That's so important. I think there's a lot of guts and character on this team.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, these guys, this isn't their first rodeo. I mean, what they've been through last year, I think they've built on things that they've learned from last year. I mean, obviously, taking one on the chin against Ohio State, that really tests, you know, your character and kind of where you're at mentally and physically as a football team. But they could easily have, you know, spit the bit and mm-hmm. said, you know, what we're wanting to get to this year, it's kind of not there anymore. But technically, it's still kind of out there. You know, if Minnesota wants to take care of business their last game there against Wisconsin, but you can lose focus real quick of what's really important. And you know, it's just playing good football, good solid football. And like I said, it doesn't matter if you're playing for a championship or not. You still want to go out there and do your best and put your best film out there. I mean, a lot of these guys want to go out to play the next level. You don't mm-hmm. want to put crap out there for scouts to see. I mean, that's another thing, but you want to do that. Take pride in what you do and how you execute and about, go about your business.
So that Minnesota win last year actually followed the Wisconsin loss at home,
okay,
referring to earlier. But then how about...
Hold on, what now?
We were talking about... He asked earlier about the Minnesota win last year. That followed the Wisconsin loss last year. He thought it was after Illinois.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So okay.
Double checking on that one.
Right, okay. So the when the fat guy hit the field goal, Leone.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that's what's weird about that, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, to go up there against Minnesota and win after that loss. It was some home loss that you're just like, oh. It was rough. But, yeah, it was – it's pretty nice to see this team bounce back and do that. And I think you kind of expect them to do it, but – I don't know. Did you think they would be able to execute and finish? And I just was kind of on the edge of my seat. It was a warm seat. Watching, and I'm like, are they gonna fall short? Because they've stormed back. They've tied the game. Are they going to be able to finish
right.
this?
Right. Well, my big concern was we drive down the field that would you take the lead? We got second and one, and we throw it two times in a row.
Yeah, you were freaking out a little bit.
Well, I was like, at that time, you know, okay, you told yourself we're going for it no matter what. That's why you do that. But it's like, really? I mean, is that needed? But
I mean, they could have just told Gronk to split out and throw a jump ball when they had to fall forward.
Riverboat Riley.
That's Sunday Night Football. We'll continue on. Michael Brunt's next to recruiting update. Some hoops talk. Hale Varsity continues.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up. Talk with Michael Brunts, 24/7 Sports, at Michael Brunts on Twitter. Brunsy, busy weekend, even bumped into you Friday night at the tailgate, and you were keeping warm with next to a heater. Nice work. It's kind of like finding that perfect parking spot, isn't it?
Yeah, I was boxing people out to make sure that they stayed away from it. I'm all elbows when that happens. So you got to clear your space and, camp out around that heater. But it's a veteran thing, though. You can't let people get in there on you.
Well, let's stay with the basketball theme. Nebraska over Sacramento State last night. Glenn Watson, big time. We'll get into recruiting, too. But what did you think of the first real game that counted?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of shows, how important that sophomore class is going to be for Nebraska this year. I mean, you're talking about Glenn Watson, Ed Morrow, Michael Jacobson, Jack McVay. Those are really, in addition to Ty Webster, kind of Nebraska's veteran players. They've played a lot of minutes for guys who've only played one year of college basketball. And, Glenn Watson looked great last night. He looked in control of the floor. He put in a lot of work in the offseason on his outside shot, which was one area that was a little inconsistent last year. But, when Nebraska, they're tied 31-31 late in the first half, and Watson and Morrow and McVay really kind of gave him a nice spark. So, I think they're really going to lean on those four guys for scoring, a little bit of leadership and everything until they can get the trio of freshmen up to speed and kind of beef up that rotation a little bit. But, that's kind of what you hope for. And I think Tim Miles has let those guys know that they're going to need to step up and play a lot of minutes and play well. And last night they definitely did that.
From a chemistry standpoint, granted, just one game in, but you got a ton of minutes for the four softs and Ty Webster. Bench-wise, not a great output, but still early, obviously, phase-wise of this season. And guys getting comfortable. And I guess from an upside standpoint, what with this team is their greatest upside if you're to project all that talent on the floor? What's one thing that they can do that's maybe different than past teams?
Well, it feels like they're going to be able to move the ball and run a little bit more than they have in the past. And I think that's where a guy like Watson is so big, just in terms of controlling the pace of the game and kind of knowing when to press and when not to on offense. And I think that you know, when you kind of factor in some of those freshmen like Isaiah Roby, Jariah Horn, Anton Gills in that group as well, they've got some guys that can really, you know, like I said, you know, really get into transition and you know, get some easy buckets that way. So I think that's one area where Nebraska can really kind of pressure teams. You know, I think it's going to take a little bit for Jordy Spanga, Jariah Horn, and Roby to kind of get up to speed. They look pretty good against Shattern State, kind of struggled a little bit in the first half last night. I don't know if maybe that was just jitters or what, but those are guys that, you know, by the time conference season rolls around, Nebraska is going to need those guys to be getting solid minutes and, you know, be able to trust that when they're on the floor, they're going to play consistently and play well and, you know, not be liabilities out there. So I think, you know, once they get those guys up to speed, I think this is a team that, you know, has some talent, some balance offensively. It's just a matter of getting the rest of those guys in the rotation at the snuff.
Early vibe you get from Coach Miles, is it excitement? Is it stress just because of the youth, even though these guys have already had a year, the majority of those four, all five starters? I mean, they've had a lot of time under their belt, kind of trial by fire basis a year ago. But how's Coach Miles feeling, you think?
Probably, I would imagine, a mix of both of what you just said. You know, I think, you know, he likes the talent overall in this team. You know, Nebraska's had back-to-back strong recruiting classes in the last couple of years. And, you know, the guys that they've brought in haven't shown any signs that they're not going to be able to compete in the Big Ten. So I think there's some excitement there. I think there's also a little bit of trepidation as well when you are as young as Nebraska is. And I mean, the Big Ten can really be a grind, especially once you get into late January and February and you're playing top teams night in and night out. But, you know, I think it's one of those kind of a mixed bag. I mean, you've got the pressure of, you know, kind of needing to win now, but at the same time, getting that talent to where you think it should be. So I guess that's kind of the challenge and the fun and maybe the part of coaching that keeps you up at night. But, you know, I think this team should be a fun team to watch, at least for Nebraska fans this year.
Michael Bruntz with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Michael Bruntz on Twitter. Bruntzy on Stock Recruiting. How'd the weekend go for the official visits?
Yeah, I ended up with three official visitors. Jeremiah Hallman, the wide receiver out of Georgia, the four-star wide receiver, ended up not making the trip up. Still had three in. No commitments, but that's not entirely unexpected. Quran Hafiz out of Jacksonville, defensive back, was probably the most intriguing guy to me. Same high school as Chris Jones. Chris Jones is actually his player host on the trip, which is kind of rare. Usually they'll stick the visitors with a freshman or something like that. But the fact that he is so close to Chris Jones, he ended up hosting him. That was a big part of the visit, was just kind of showing, you know, what Nebraska's like and kind of how he's transitioned there. After the visit, Quran kind of told me that Chris was like a big brother to him. So I think that's going to be a big factor when he ultimately decides, which is going to be in December. He's an early enrollee, has a visit to Iowa State set up for a couple weeks, maybe taking another visit. But I think Nebraska did pretty well there to kind of get in the mix. The other two official visitors, Cameron Curl, an athlete, safety kid out of Oklahoma. This is his first official visit. So a little bit of an opportunity for Nebraska to set the bar, but he's still taking all of his visits. That decision is probably going to go to signing day. Also looking at TCU, some schools in the SEC, so definitely some competition there, but I think the atmosphere in Lincoln kind of opened his eyes. And then Jaquan Henderson, linebacker out of Georgia, who's currently committed to Tennessee. I think Nebraska had a lot of ground to kind of make up there. It is tough to flip kids. I know Tennessee really likes Henderson in their class. They're going to fight to keep him, but another opportunity to at least kind of get a kid in, show him what you can do, and you know, you never know what happens there. But you know, I think the weekend overall was pretty solid. A couple other visitors of note that are worth noting: Grayson Mann, a 2018 linebacker out of Texas. Nebraska's its only offer, but he's starting to hear from Notre Dame, Cal, schools in the SEC as well. I'd say Nebraska's probably leading for him right now, obviously, because they're the only offer, but they've done a really nice job of offering, evaluating early, and really kind of putting themselves in the pole position. I think that's definitely one to watch down the road. And I'll give you one more. Mario Goodrich, an athlete, wide receiver, defensive back out of Lee Summit West High School. That's a familiar high school to the Nebraska fans. You had Bo Wilson out of there on the roster now. Same high school as Monte Harrison a couple of years ago before he ended up playing minor league baseball. He's got K-State offers right now, Iowa State, Missouri. Nebraska really likes him as a defensive back. Big athletic kid. Actually wears Monte Harrison's jersey number. They're close. Monte's been putting in good words for Nebraska there. So he's a guy that I think is going to be getting a number of Power 5 offers. And I think Nebraska really did a nice job of impressing him on the weekend as well.
That's pretty big time. Michael Bruns with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Add Michael Bruns on Twitter, 24/7 Sports. Brunsie, now with Nebraska and Maryland being an 11 a.m. kickoff, do you have a forecast at all for anyone coming in? I know playoffs and high school postseason's winding down with a lot of kids, but still, that's a pretty tough call to get here if you're not within that 500-mile radius.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, this might be one of those games where maybe you focus a little bit more on the kids in the region. Maybe look ahead to 2018 and try and get some of those kids in as well if you can, or maybe some guys that you're looking at as walk-on possibilities. I guess the good part this time of year with an 11 a.m. kick, like you said, some guys are having their teams get eliminated in the playoffs, so their schedules are opening a little bit more. Right now, it's sounding like it's going to be pretty quiet official visit-wise, but as always, it's early in the week, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see a name or two pop up before Saturday's game. But definitely, those 11 a.m. kicks, it really kind of makes it tough.
Have you had crab cakes before? And if so, are you a connoisseur of crab cakes?
I've had crab cakes. I would say that I am not a connoisseur, but I know that crab cakes in football, that's what Maryland does.
Give me the movie.
That's definitely Wedding Crashers. That's been a popular one on the message board this week.
No, I know. Yeah. That was a rough front yard football game. You ever hit anybody like that?
I haven't, but you know, if Christopher Walken were at the game playing touch football there, I think that would definitely make it make the pain a little less.
Yeah, more cowbell and nature versus nurture. Yeah, great scene, but I don't know if that scene was as good as what you saw down in the Superdome yesterday. As a Bronco fan, how much beverage did you spill in your living room?
Well, I here's the thing. Like, if you're kind of, you know, handicapping ways that a team would win a football game, the blocked extra point with one guy holding the long snapper's head down while the other guy leapfrogs him and blocks the kick and steps out of bounds and still gets in the end zone, that probably you'd probably be getting okay odds on that. I think we all learned that the reason you need to wear white shoes. I think that's the big takeaway from the way that game ended.
You know, my buddy Jeff that I go to Donkeyland with was all nervous and freaked out a week ago. He's like, "You sure you want to go to the New England game?" I'm like, "Absolutely." We're still going to the New England game. I don't care. It's December 17th. Let's get it done. And I think he feels a little better. You've always held firm and fast that things will be okay in Donkeyland. You've not wavered. You've had confidence in this team all year.
Yeah, I lived through the McDaniel and Tebow years. So as long as we don't go back to that dark place, everything's just gravy as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and I mean, you may trade for Romo before it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, that might go to the dark place. So,
Brunsie, you're awesome. Thanks for what you're doing, and appreciate you spending a few minutes with us.
No problem, Schmitty. We'll talk to you next week.
Good work, Michael Bruns. Add Michael Bruns on Twitter. Jay Morquist, Schmidt, TJ Henning. Safe driving. Demand your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved buzz while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. 1 hour from now, Husker Wideout, Brandon Riley, Charlie McBride, 20 minutes away. Hale Varsity continues next.
Subscribe to Hale Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to halevarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. TJ Henning, hope you're doing all right. Nebraska at 8-2 and still pretty far back when it comes to the rest of the teams with a loss or two, and some three-loss teams. If you look at the AP or the coaches poll, we'll know tomorrow night around 8 o'clock what the College Football Selection Committee is thinking. Barry Alvarez with us a month ago said, go ahead and make your picks. They're going to be wrong. And does Barry know what he's talking about? Iowa beating Michigan. Iowa and Bo or Luke Duke, depending on the wave, had 66 yards passing. Beathard. He looks like he's been an extra or he works in Cooter's garage. Pitt stunned Clemson. That was hilarious.
That was about time.
Matt Millen was in the sixth floor area where the soda machine's at. And I'm name dropping like a scumbag, but he was at the other end of the wall, jumping up and down, making a ton of noise. And just, come on, Pitt. Come on. I mean, he's really.
He's a Pitt guy, right? Is he a Pitt guy?
Penn State. But I think he hates the ACC or wanted more chaos for the Big Ten to get two teams in.
Sure.
So Babcock and I are there, and Mike just kind of like, oh, Matt's into this. Sydney, like, come on down. Blewett's the kicker. He's like, that can't be his name. Like, Blewett's the kid's name. Like, that's no good. So Pitt beating Clemson, and Clemson had been lighting matches on top of a gasoline can the last couple of weeks.
It was like the fourth game that it was down to a field goal, one possession.
Mm-hmm.
Like every, I mean, NC State.
NC
Louisville,
State.
Yeah, Louisville. NC State should have beat them.
So, and then you have USC and their athletes just whack Washington. Mm-hmm. So I got to ask you, let's just talk this out. It'll be wrong because the committee will do what the committee does. But who? You have Bama and then who else? Do we all agree it's Ohio State right now?
Yeah, I think Ohio State deserves to be number two.
Yeah, I'd put them two as well.
So, but let's fast forward beyond just this week. Ohio State's got Michigan State and Michigan. Mm-hmm. They went out and Penn State wins out, and you know that Penn State goes because they have the head-to-head.
Who does Penn State have to play at?
They have
Rutgers and Michigan State.
And they host Michigan State.
Yeah, they're winning out.
They're winning out. So Penn State's going to Indy. Assuming Ohio State beats Michigan and Michigan's quarterback is out right now. I think you're going to have zero issue with the committee and even the college football fan base taking Ohio State, even if they're not playing in Indianapolis.
I think Ohio State would love not to play Ohio State loves it. If I'm Ohio State, I'm like, sure, we won't play in the Big Ten title game. Sure, we're going to get in probably no matter what, and we're going to be fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Perfect.
And then now, does the winner of the Big Ten, Penn State, get in? If they win out, they win the whole thing, and they're 11-2. One of their loss to Michigan, the other loss was to Pitt by 3, who just whacked Clemson. Does Penn State get in at 11-2?
This is where it gets dicey.
Walk with me. Say Wisconsin.
Because if they win the Big Ten championship and they beat Ohio State, like, I just don't know how.
Hold on. Let me ask you this though. Say Wisconsin wins out, and I know it'd be pretty awesome, and we'll get into this later. Nebraska, Penn State in the Big Ten title game. But say Wisconsin does their thing, and is it fair to say the winner of Wisconsin, Penn State, each at 11-2, gets the other playoff spot next to Ohio State? Yeah, Penn State, who beat Ohio State head to head, and yet Wisconsin, who lost in overtime to Ohio State.
That's probably your best case scenario for.
Or are you taking Louisville over? Either non-conference champion, much like Ohio State,
yeah,
and the two conference champs that get in, going to be Clemson, assuming they win out, and you're going to take Alabama.
That's why we need 8 in the playoffs.
No, just keep it at 4. This is cool.
That's why we need 6.
No, both of you.
8.
More isn't 6. Better unless it's pizza and women. Okay? Okay? No is the answer. Keep it at 4. Here's the other idea. Shea floated this out as we're waiting for interviews Saturday. Dude, just give Bama a bye.
Sure, just run right in the championship game.
I will grant you an expansion of one. Four plus a bye.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I mean, it is like everybody's playing for second.
Right? Who's wowed you most? I mean, let's look at the wow factor and let's look at the loss factor. Mm-hmm. If we're ranking losses, okay, you have a loss to a now a 6-4 team by Clemson. You have a loss to a 6-4 team in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a loss to a one-loss team in Louisville, right, who lost to Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the best body of work and the best execution, the team that looks the best right now in college football, aside from Ohio State, going 124-6 on the two teams they faced, I think Ohio State looks the best. I think Wisconsin looks the best.
No, they look good. Wisconsin looks damn good.
I think they beat the majority of people in front of them. This weekend will be awesome because it's Colorado. It's a good football team. They lost to SC and they've lost to Michigan. Colorado's kind of for real.
Mm-hmm.
And then Washington State's played great football since their 0-2 start.
Right.
They'll play each other in Hippieville.
This is crazy. I mean, I think for Big Ten to get two in, you need to have Penn State go to the Big Ten championship game.
I just need him to win it.
I should say,
I think Wisconsin's got the argument, though.
Right. No, I'm saying, or not win. I should say, you want a Wisconsin Penn State. I don't want a Wisconsin. I want a Nebraska Penn State.
Right,
but I'm saying,
too,
if you want a two Big Ten teams to be in the Final Four, it needs to be Wisconsin and Penn State. And Ohio State, if they went out, they're getting in. They are getting in.
I agree with that.
They're getting in.
So the question is, do you take Louisville or do you take Wisconsin? Now, you have two losses
That's
with
tough.
Wisconsin, and then you have...
I just think you're going to
have... Isn't to, it? I mean, I'm asking... I'm making,
test,
I'm
well,
making
pass
your,
the eye test.
I'm making your brain hurt right now.
So, if this plays out... So, help me on the ACC. Louisville and Clemson are on the same side, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Clemson obviously has a tiebreaker.
Clemson
to go
goes
to
and plays for the ACC title,
right,
and beats somebody.
Right.
Again. But Louisville... I mean, Louisville... Listen, Louisville has Houston and Kentucky. That's next. And Houston may be ranked, I think they snuck back into the top 25, mm-hmm, but clearly they're not that great. Now, Oklahoma's crept back into the top 10, and that's a win in the back pocket of Houston.
Right, but you want to go the eye test part of things? Oklahoma does not. They're not good.
Well, defensively,
they're
garbage.
A mess. Like, I watched most of that
garbage
game they played Iowa State last week. I'm like, offensively, I mean –
Offensively, they're fine. They're
yeah, good. But defensively, it's just not a Bob Stoops look type of defense. Mm-hmm. They're in shambles.
Yeah, there's no confidence.
This is good. This is great. I mean,
I think. Think about that. Who do you take, Wisconsin or Clemson, as a second team from their conference? Be caller 6 right now. We'll get you a 6-month premium Hail Varsity online subscription. Caller 6 now. An online subscription for 6 months to HailVarsity.com. Access to the message boards, insider info, recruiting analysis. Caller 6 now on Hail Varsity.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text Hail to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
We'll have Brad Edwards in with us Wednesday to sort out the committee's reaction. Rick Pizzo will be with us tomorrow to kind of predict what the committee's going to do. Good luck. No, this is going to be awesome. And it is a ongoing marathon, not the sprint in college football, especially last weekend where 2, 3, 4 and, what, 7 went down? Pretty impressive.
Very impressive. But this is
just... Riley said it best. It was cool to be one of the teams not on that side of the ledger.
Right.
Because you have those type of weekends in college football where it just all goes to hell.
Well, it's like no one gave Iowa a chance. I mean, no one gave Pitt a chance. I mean, Can Wisconsin just keep it up? That's the thing. But the grinder they've been through.
They've not played bad football, and they've not wandered. They've not looked unfocused at all.
I know. It's been amazing. It's unbelievable. The fact that this team has made it through and only lost to Michigan and Ohio State.
By 7 points is what they've lost by.
Mm-hmm. It's...
So Pac-12 is pretty much screwed, and the Big 12 is screwed.
Yeah.
Because they're not – I mean, Oklahoma is likely your Big 12 champ.
Right.
Okay?
Right, but they're never getting in.
And they are still screaming from what Ohio State did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, they still need some more chaos to help them get in.
Yeah. Like Sparty to step up. Sparty's going to roll up with a bunch of dynamite around their neck and say, I'm here for the party!
Maybe they just needed a 48-0 win over Rutgers.
Maybe Rutgers.
To get their confidence going.
Yeah. Or to hear what Coach D'Antonio has been saying. But Nebraska's in a good spot. Do your job. Win next Saturday. And then just empty the tank against Iowa. Because that thing's going to be old school football. I can't wait for the Apple Cup either. Because Washington State versus Washington, I'm wondering how our friend the Pirate will do against Colorado and Boulder this weekend. But got some good games. That is the game this weekend, is Washington State at Colorado. 1 carat diamonds, go see our friend Rick at Sauter Heyman. $100 a month, 1 carat diamonds. Select 1 carat diamonds, and holiday season's around the corner. Maybe an anniversary, maybe a birthday. But you know she'll love it, and you know she deserves it. Now you can afford it. 1 carat diamonds. Select 1 carat diamonds. Just $100 a month with your friends at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown in Lincoln. South Point Pavilion in Lincoln. Rod West in Grand Island. Limited time offer with approved credit. See stores for details. You can log on SauterHeyman.com. Okay, we are about 10 minutes away, less than, with Coach Charlie McBride. Husker senior wide receiver Brandon Riley around 5:40. And we'll get into the Indy discussion next hour, too. That is Nebraska's chances, what percentage you're putting on it, and who do you want to see in Indy if Nebraska can get a little help from Minnesota. We've just spent the last 30 years talking up Wisconsin and how good they are. That's right when you go against the grain, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Hail Varsity Hour 2 continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Charlie McBride next.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better
and better!
We get
beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you back. Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Your chance at Secret Husker coming up. Your chance at a premier subscription online to HailVarsity.com. And Husker senior wide receiver Brandon Riley will be with us in about 40 minutes. It is time, though, for Mondays with Charlie. Mr. Charlie McBride, Coach McBride with us on Hail Varsity, brought to you by Emeritus. It's hard to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help put it back into focus for you. Emeritus helps protect your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also, they provide employees with retirement, dental, and hearing plans, keeping promises for 130 years and proud to stand by Nebraska and Husker Athletics. Emeritus, and visit emeritus.com. Coach McBride, how are we doing?
I'm doing good. Are all the Nebraska flags back out?
They are still out. That's a wow. That's a pretty good, you know, off the top rope right there. That was good. They are out, but they were cautious because Minnesota's kind of they're a bit feisty, don't you think?
Yeah, they've really improved this year. I watched them a couple of times play early and later, and probably three times anyway, and You know, they improved quite a bit. They had a little quarterback problems with injuries and stuff like that, but they got everybody back now, I think. And so that's what, you know, they're a tough bunch. And they got, I think they got pretty good coaches up there, too.
They do.
I used to drive from my house Saturday morning over to the players where they were staying over the, they stayed at the center there on 33rd Cotner or something like that. I don't remember. But anyway, I counted 33 flags out and we lost. So the next week I counted the flags and then there were 11. So
wow.
That's why I sent the flags back out. You know, but anyway, it was great to, you know, come back in the end again. And I'll tell you, they got to be known as the most dangerous team in the fourth quarter there is in the world.
Yeah.
Now they do it, whatever it takes, they do it. And I'm sure nobody was overly happy, and I think that's where the coaches were. And it seems like we're stuck in a rut. I'd like to see them just cut loose some games and not get close to 100 yards in penalties. I think they had 80-some yards in penalties. And, you know, and I think Minnesota, if I remember, they had 2 penalties.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's just the way it is. And, you know, it was a good game, though. I mean, the kids just played when they had to, and that's what counts. I'm glad Tommy was able to come back, too.
He was extremely impressive, arguably the best game of his career. Just when you look at what he did in the game, how he responded from last game, and his efficiency. Coach, what are you going to remember? And he's got 2 more games left, but what are you going to remember about Tommy Armstrong as a coach and as a guy who's taught a lot of kids?
You know, a lot of times you don't see a kid what he really is until he plays a game. And, you know, it's you look at him in the fourth quarter. I mean, what do you say? He's a heck of a competitor. I mean, when the chips are down, he came up with it. And, you know, he has to be the leader of it. And I think, again, I think the defense also, you know, you have to give them credit too, because, you know, they're holding people down in the fourth quarter better than, you know, than most times. People do, so I think with Tommy, I think is he's a competitor. I know him as a person. He's a great kid, and you know, it's tough to say what he's going to end up doing in the NFL, but he'll do something. A lot of those quarterbacks are all playing wide receiver for New England, you know, and stuff like that, so you don't know, but he's got enough ability to do something. And you know, I think probably the fact that he is, you know, a lot of people criticize that maybe him for not being a captain. And heck, that's happened a lot of times, but yet he still is a leader. And you know what happened to the team when they thought he was down? You know, I think our team went down. And so you know what they think of him as a player. And that, you know, you'll always look at a kid that has double ability to do things. Mm-hmm. Some guys are great passers. Some guys are great runners. And it's kind of a combination of both. And that's the thing that probably is making football exciting nowadays.
It definitely is, Coach. Hey, defensively against Minnesota, Nebraska was pretty dang good, you know, especially in the second half, pitching a shutout there in the second half. But pass rush is still has been a little bit of an issue so far. And people get frustrated. People talk to me about what can be done, what needs to be done. And I just kind of say, you know, it's hard when you can't all of a sudden just become great pass rushers, you know, 9th, 10th game of the year if you haven't really been doing it all season. But what do you think, Coach, when you look at this? You know, you see games, you see Perella trying to do some things. I see some bright things coming, but, you know, we just can't quite finish in the deal. What have you thought of this pass rush so far, and maybe some tweaks or something they can maybe do to help, you know, finish out the quarterback and create some more pressure?
Right. I think the inside guys are getting, you know, the first thing with young people is you just got to see use their strength with the power rush and stuff and some good inline stunt techniques and things like that. And, you know, some gaps, you know, charges through gaps and things. But with the outside guys, I think that's been part of the biggest problem. I think their alignments and 7 technique is out the window to me. I'd never get in it in a million years. to give them a chance to make a play, to widen them. They've done some of it, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's not bad to take one of your, you know, maybe bigger defensive backs or something, put his hand on the ground and let him fly, you know, on definite passing downs from the corner, from defensive end part. You know, I know we had guys that could really move, and that was a whole big thing in our recruiting. And I think, you know, we just don't have enough speed on the edge. And we're losing containment a lot of times because of the two. But, you know, our offensive line is probably one of the first two teams in the conferences having sacks against them. And our defensive line is almost to the bottom of sacks period. And, but, you know, sometimes it's the pressure. It doesn't show all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you sell pressure and getting their hands up and knocking balls down, you know, to me, sometimes that's better than a sack, because if they let loose of the ball, you've got a chance for a tip. You got a chance to change the trajectory in the guy's arm is throwing, you know, and that comes up with interceptions, and they're doing it in the secondary, you know, but it's just, I think it's the corners. I think that you got to move your defensive ends around a little bit and give them a chance to let her go. Sometimes you got to look back and say, we're a little weak there, but if they do it enough and play enough, they'll be able to play the run, I'll promise them.
Charlie McBride with us, Mondays with Charlie Hale, Varsity Radio, talking about Saturday's win and the rest of the season for Nebraska. Coach, with this Nebraska team, we talked about the fourth quarter. We talked about what they've done defensively. Can you put into words how hard it is to get a team to respond like Nebraska did? They responded against a team that's going to end up with 7 or 8, maybe 9 wins in Minnesota after getting thumped like they did. How difficult is it to get a team to be ready? You're supposed to do it, but it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it.
That's exactly right. And sometimes coaches are fooled. You know what I'm getting at? Sometimes.
Right.
Here's what I think. You have to have intense practices. You can't just go out and wander around and do things, you know, walk over here and kind of jog over here and do that. Everything has to be done like it's in a game. If you're running a drill, I don't care if it's stepping over the bags or whatever it is. When that hand's on the ground, you're gone. And I mean, you're gone game speed and things like that. And so I think it's important. But, you know, you can tell a little bit by how hard they're working in practice. And I said last week, I listened to two of the guys, one from Ohio State, one from Michigan, and they said they had the most intense practice of the week, and we carried our intensity right on the field. And on the season, I mean, since camp, said in fact, the most intense since camp. And, you know, and here they're, you know, up in the top in the country. And but yet they're pounding and grinding and everything else. And I know you get worried about injuries and this and that, but you protect each other. You don't do something stupid in practice like cut a guy or, you know, chop block or do anything like that, you know, and you don't take backs down and things like that. And it helps the secondary because they have to play the ball. And, you know, you keep the hand fighting out of it and just go play the ball. Because it's theirs too. Once it's up there, you might as well say, I'm the guy going to go catch it. I'm the receiver now. And if you got the speed to hang in there, you're going to do something. But I just think it's a hard thing to tell until you see them on the practice field. You can tell if they really want to play. You can tell it in practice. I really believe that.
Coach, what did you think of the Michigan-Iowa game?
Well, I thought they went in there thinking they're going to roll their hats on the field and got the snot knocked out of them. you know, I mean, it's a hard, you know, you go back and look, there's one week in college football where all these good teams just tank.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a week. And I mean, you know, the people that never should be people. And I think, you know, we lost over there one year, and I remember going in the locker room when it was painted pink.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it puts everybody in a nice mood for being a little child or something or whatever it is. But, you know, it probably worked. You know, so the next year, every time we played them, they had posters all over. We had posters all over the walls and all that stuff, and went over there thinking, hey, we're going to do it. And we got beat 10-7, and probably our best player fumbled the ball. And, you know, it happens. It just happens all the time. It's a tough place to be. And you have to get ready to ready to be sound, both sides of the ball.
Coach, what about Ohio State? Do they look like the best team in the Big Ten right now?
You know, I wouldn't want to pick one, but I'll tell you what. I would say this. If I think after last week's the best thing that ever happened to Michigan.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit scary because they probably can match them. When it comes right down to it, I don't think Ohio State's played is like they can yet.
Wow.
Or you don't. And, you know, if I was going to pick a team right now, I'd probably go with them. But, you can't tell. I think one of the reasons is you got a running quarterback against the stick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you know where he's going to be. So you can build your pressure around a guy that's not going to be a runner. Mm-hmm. He can run, but, you know, he's not supposed to. So, you know, that helps a little bit, you know, as far as defensive plans. And if you can get to him a few times and kind of break him down, their curves down a little bit, get the offensive linemen mad at each other and, you know, and wear them out, keep the ball, then, you know, you got a good chance to win. But I don't care what game you're playing. If you lose up front, both sides, you're going to lose. Mm. Most of the time. And unless everybody throws the ball every play, but so that's where I think it's going to be won. And I think really Ohio State may have a younger bunch of kids and not have the experience that Michigan has. I think if you look at the roster, Michigan's got a load of seniors. And that would be the one thing I'd say that, they're going out and it's their last chance. And it'll be a war. And that game is crazy. I would pick the team, I would say Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
So you know who's going to win now, right?
Michigan.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like Lee Corso. I picked the wrong team about 90% of the time.
You're doing America the favor, right? Don't do what I'm saying.
Every time Lee picked us to win, I got cringed. I told him, no. You know, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And every time he picked us to lose, we win. You know, yeah. And so he's a beauty.
Coach, you're a beauty. We appreciate having a few minutes with you. We'll run you down next week for Nebraska-Iowa. We appreciate your time today, Coach.
Okay. Well, my wife's in shopping. We're getting ready to move back. We just got asked to leave out of our rent-a-house.
Okay.
We're going to be back in Michigan after the winter's over.
Okay.
Okay?
That'll be good, Coach.
Okay, guys.
We'll talk to you next week. Thanks again, Coach.
If we don't win, I'll blame it on you guys.
Do it.
Hey.
We'll take the heat.
Easy enough.
We'll take the heat. Okay. Sounds okay. Good.
Thanks, Coach.
Coach, you're awesome. Appreciate it. There he is, Charlie McBride. Mr. Blackshirt. Mondays with Charlie. That's pretty good. The Corso comments, good insight on Ohio State and Michigan, so good to hear from him. Brandon Riley is about 15 minutes away. We'll talk, what's going to happen for the Big Ten 2 weeks ahead of when we know for sure. This is the name you need to listen for. Gregathan Smith will call for this secret Husker name tomorrow during their program. Your chance at Nebraska and Maryland tickets. Turner Gill, your secret Husker name.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Now, Coach McBride brought up something that needs to be addressed. The Husker flag flyers. after a bad loss, do you tuck your flag away?
You should always fly at game day, right? No matter what.
Maybe so, after a bad loss, I mean, you just the unofficial poll, right?
Mm-hmm.
People were irate. And they were kind of like, yeah, it's going to happen on Saturday night. And for a while there, it looked like Minnesota's just going to outpunch Nebraska. And I'll tell you this, Nebraska had better athletes and just was, it was a more talented team. And that's what will drive you over a cliff if you're a Nebraska fan, if you don't win. Minnesota, kind of disagree, agree with me, Minnesota falls into that category of teams you should beat.
Oh, 100%.
And it's more about a superiority complex than it is, if you want to just get down to it, their talent level on paper is 25 spots lower recruiting-wise than Nebraska's, but men, they're like, they're a lot like Wisconsin, where they just find dudes to their system.
Mm-hmm.
They're built on the offensive and defensive line, and you just don't have a lot of success against mm-hmm. them. And if you're not ready, or you overlook them, or you think you're just going to roll the helmet out there, like mm-hmm. Coach said, that's when you lose to them. I mean, they have been in every ball game they've lost. Every ball game they've lost. Mm-hmm. They should have beat Penn State.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could have beat Nebraska, but Nebraska outplayed them and got the win.
The refs tried keeping them in with that.
Yeah, I gotta ask
Seath and Carter.
I gotta ask you a couple things on that.
That was ridiculous. Come on, like that should be that needs to be in tonight's Come On Man NFL football for Monday Night Football. That flop of that guy and actually getting it called.
Is this the worst year you've seen officiating in college football?
It's getting bad. I think
it's been getting bad in pro and college.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
But it's been bad in college.
Mm-hmm. What's weird is it's early in the year, you had kind of, and even last year, you had these horrible targeting calls. You haven't seen much of that lately. I think players are getting better at it, I honestly believe. But
styled back.
Right. But they're just, you just kind of, you just shake your head and like, what are you looking at? I mean, what's that ref? I mean, that guy that threw the flag was standing right there over him. Do you not see him? I mean, the guy clearly flopped. I mean, Seathan just kind of like, hey, bro, like, excuse me.
Move.
Like, get off him. It wasn't like he came up and actually shoved him. It was, I mean.
Their middle linebacker was throwing
Carson wouldn't even
punches.
Carson wouldn't even have fell down if Seathan would have done that to him, you know? Like, that's, I mean, the guy.
Carson would have tried to draw the flag.
Right. Maybe. You might be right. But it was just, I mean, what are you, because that, honestly, we were.
That changed the game.
We would have got points off that drive, without a doubt. We would have got points. Because we were driving it. We were marching it. They had no answer.
Did somebody have the, you know, I mean, was somebody laying the points Saturday?
Could have been. You know, they might have got those. They might
have got the field goal to push it to 10 mm-hmm. and Jay Bird's a happy guy instead of an angry guy.
Mm-hmm. Do you think making college and NFL refs full-time jobs, would that enhance the product? Or,
well, the thing is, you're still...
Because, you know, NBA, MLB,
well,
NHL, those guys are full-time.
Just don't be stupid.
Right. Well, here's the thing
what
is...
what I'm saying.
A lot of these guys...
Use your head.
So a lot of these guys that are refereeing are still at practice, you know, refereeing practices. Every practice we had in college, we had full squad referees there doing it. They're getting their work in, and they were Big 12 refs or Big 10 refs that travel all over the country. Now, they might not have – you might have those same guys that do your practices. You might have them for like one to maybe two games a year. But they're technically still practicing throughout the week, you know, during your team stuff. I mean, they have other jobs. A lot of these guys are lawyers and accountants and run their – I mean, they're very successful guys and making a lot of money on the weekends. I mean, I believe Big 10 refs get like $5,000 a game.
Good.
I could be wrong. That's what I heard. I mean, that's good money.
It's worth every penny if you're Minnesota and the guy throws
right.
a flag on season.
12 games a year. You know, that's a nice little side business there. So, I don't think so. But I mean, don't get them wrong that they just show up on Saturdays or Sundays and this is, you know, they're at practices, they're working practices. I think college refs probably get more reps than NFL ones. I don't know. Like, you don't see main crews at. You know, doing NFL games, they're not probably doing NFL practices. Usually those are still college refs or some ref from, you know, local that are doing those NFL practices, but.
No, you've just heard the groan between either the Westerkamp, Wisconsin game, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You've heard the groan about the Seathan Carter flag last Saturday. Am I missing any more?
I thought the PI calls both games. I thought the one that first drive. I know we should have been off the field by then because we had 12 guys, and that's just an absolute boneheaded play.
Yeah.
I mean, that was ridiculous. But that was on, I think it was Aaron Williams. Dude, it was a good play. Kalu, maybe. He kind of had him hooked. But they're – listen, that's what's crazy. You get these, like, ticky-tack, bang-bang, you know, no flag, or it could have gone either way. Then you have some just absolutely blatant that don't get called. You know, it's just like, what are you looking at?
The thing that's blown me away, and this is in the NFL and in college, is, and this goes back to Richard Sherman not getting called for it against Julio against Atlanta, mm-hmm. where you have one-on-one, you have wide out. Yeah, the arm lock.
Yeah.
It's like he's pulling his mm-hmm. arm. He's got it.
Mm-hmm.
And if a guy's going up with one hand and you're an official and you're right there, chances are he ain't trying to make SportsCenter top 10.
Right.
Somebody's got his legs wrapped around the guy's arm, and he's pulling on it. The number of one-handed catches you've seen, and even look with Westerkamp, a couple of those plays he tried to make or did make against Ohio mm-hmm. State, mm-hmm. you'll have arm grabbing.
Right.
I mean, let's go back to Ohio State secondary for a second. They were just physical, but they knew perfectly how to finish and mm-hmm. swat the ball mm-hmm. away.
They played good.
They played great. All right, let's ask this question. It's on HailVarsity.com. Still the chance for you to get a six-month premium online subscription. We'll give that away here before 6 here on Hail Varsity. The poll question of the night on Hail Varsity. Nebraska gets help and gets to Indy. Who do you want to face? What opponent do you want to see in the Big Ten title game? Is it Michigan? Is it Ohio State? Is it Penn State? 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. Who do you want to see?
I don't want to see Ohio State again.
Really?
I don't think we can beat them.
I don't think you can beat it. I don't think you can beat two of the three on this question. I don't think you can beat Michigan. Well, hold on.
Listen.
Without Spate, their quarterback.
And you saw, I mean.
If Iowa can beat Michigan.
Right.
This is absolutely passive-aggressive backhand. If Iowa can beat Michigan, Nebraska can beat Michigan. Mm-hmm. I think Nebraska.
Penn State would be a good matchup, too.
I think they would, too. And I don't know what to think of Penn State because Minnesota could have beaten them. Mm-hmm. Penn State dirty to cover, but they were in a real dogfight at Indiana, mm-hmm. similar to Nebraska.
They struggled with Purdue early on.
McSorley frightens me. Barkley's great.
Great. Really. And, he might be the best back in the Big
Ten. And the Penn State defensive front four is incredible. Mm-hmm. At least they were against Ohio State. So who do you want to see if Nebraska gets to Indy? I don't think Nebraska deserves to go to Indy. You didn't take care of business against Wisconsin.
I don't foresee Wisconsin's too. It ain't gonna happen. I don't foresee it.
That's gonna be Wisconsin against who? But say Nebraska gets in there, you'll take it.
Oh, without a doubt.
Don't apologize for it. You take it, and then it's a one-game playoff for you
mm-hmm.
to get into a New Year's Day 6.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're too far gone to be playoff considered. Sorry.
No. Yeah.
But
there's no way. If you lost to Ohio State by like 21 or less,
mm-hmm.
sure. You have a gripe. You have a gripe.
Yes, if that's your only loss. You also needed to beat Wisconsin.
Right. But for a team like Oklahoma all of a sudden being all of a sudden relevant again in this whole deal, and they got dismantled. They lost the first two games.
It's by default.
Right.
They're in trouble. Tim's been hanging on the line. Tim, thanks for calling. Welcome into Hail Varsity. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, how are we today?
Good, man. What do you know?
Your wife got me another new watch, which is pretty sick. Tell her thanks.
You're the one who had to hang out with her, thanks to you.
Well, you're welcome. Somebody's got to drop on the grenade every once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there any chance that if, like, a travel agent screws up, Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State all end up in, like, the wrong country, and we could just go play, like, Rutgers? That'd be perfect.
So is there a chance that Nebraska gets Michigan State in the Big Ten title game? Is that what you're asking me?
I actually pulled up a website to look at the standings, and it was last year. So I was like, oh, cool, we're going to play Michigan State. That's great.
No, it was last
year. So, yeah, let's do that. Is there a way to work that in?
No, it's either going to be Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State.
Then I'd take Penn State because, well, I like James Franklin. I don't like khakis, and Urban Meyer's too cool. I have troubles rooting against him just because, I mean, he's so good-looking. You know what I mean?
He tans. So
well, Jay was the one who told me about it. He's like, gosh, you ever notice how good-looking Ohio State's coach is? And I had never paid attention until he gave me that advice.
Yeah. Well, next time you bump into each other, he'll remind you. Tim, thanks for calling, brother. I appreciate
it.
See ya. There we go. So Tim says, give me Penn State. I think the most favorable opponent would be Penn State, obviously, just because they've lost a non-con game.
Michigan doesn't – I've watched Michigan play. Listen, they got – I mean, Jabril Peppers is probably – might be – I mean, besides Lamar Jackson, most impressive player in the nation, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
They got some good – I mean –
Michigan's beatable.
I like 43. Is it Worsley? Their defensive lineman, he's really good. I really like the way he plays. They're not – like, offensively, they do – Harbaugh put – this is where Harbaugh comes in because he can just scheme – he's so smart offensively, how he can do things. He did it with the 49ers when they didn't have exactly the best talent on the offensive side of the ball with Alex Smith in those first couple of years. Mm-hmm. The way that he can do things, he puts in such a better advantage, X's and O's wise. Defensively, they're damn good. I mean, they're damn good.
They're sick on both lines.
Right. Exactly. But, I mean, I don't – Penn State's definitely the favorable – of our hypothetical Wisconsin melting down situation.
You put a cornerback, a quarterback from Michigan, I think they look a little different.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they're being written off because Spate is out for the rest of the regular season. They never count him out, I guess. He remembers last year and how they got rolled. Penn State, though, I mean, they beat Ohio State. They got rocked 49-10 at the Big House. And they survived Minnesota. You want Penn State, but if you want to go out and get an achievement, you go beat Ohio State. Brandon Riley's next.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back in Hale Varsity Radio, and Brandon Riley with us. It's Maryland this week. Brandon, how you been? And you said something about that job that many have had in the state of Nebraska, selling soda. How did you get talked into that?
You know, a buddy I used to play baseball with, his mom kind of, you know, runs that whole deal. And, you know, some people see it as a, you know, good way to make money. I saw it as a good opportunity to, you know, watch some games for free.
What year did you do it?
Looking back, I can't remember. You know,
was SC in town? What was the big non-con game that year?
Missouri, when I think Roy Haley was running wild. I think that I did it for a couple years, and you know, I'm getting old, so all those years kind of run together.
Did Roy run for more yards than you made money?
Absolutely. He could have ran for about 20 yards and probably made more than I did. I didn't do much selling, more spectating.
Well, hey, you're a local kid, and you've fulfilled the dream. You made it at Nebraska. You've been a key contributor. And what's a moment that kind of sticks out to you? Let's go back in time when you first got here.
Yeah, as I was saying earlier to some other guys, Kenny Bell came up to me, and he's like, you know, don't let the whole walk-on scholarship thing fool you. He's like, you know, I can tell you're good enough to play here. Just keep putting in the work, and your opportunity is going to come. And when it comes, don't let it pass you by. And, you know, that really stuck with me. And, you know, I can't thank him enough for, you know, just putting that confidence in my head.
Did you hit it off with Kenny before getting on the field, or did your on-field performance kind of trigger him to come forward and pep talk you?
No, you know, we're pretty both outgoing guys, so, you know, we kind of bonded right away. He's actually like one of the first guys I met just out on campus, and you know, I think we became, you know, friends, but then once I started doing more in the field, I think he had a little more respect for me, and you know, our friendship's grown, and you know, we still talk all the time.
Is there a moment when you got on the field that, okay, they're putting me in? Is there a moment in your career that sticks out that kind of proved it to yourself? I don't know if you had doubt or not, but I kind of go back a couple of years ago to the Iowa game. You had a huge fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's the play I was thinking about, you know, towards the end of that game. Kenny needed a break, and for him to, you know, throw me in, that really showed me, like, you know, this is a big part of big game. And, you know, I made a play and then decided to fall down and let Kenny get the game winner. It was only right I did that. But, yeah, I think that was the moment I was like, you know, I can really do this thing.
With this team, what comes to mind about, I mean, it's been well noted how good you've been in the fourth quarter, how physical you've been. You've won close games, and that's a flip from a year ago. But can you put into words just the mental toughness and where it comes from with not just yourself but this group of seniors?
Yeah, you know, just I think just adversity and, you know, how we've handled that. It's, you know, previously we always didn't handle it, you know, I don't think the right way. And I think that, you know, a lot of it comes back to the off-season work we put in, you know. Coach Phillip and those guys, they put us through, you know, some pretty tough early morning workouts. And, you know, guys, they weren't hanging their heads. You know, we were excited. You turn that radio up loud and you got all your boys working it. It makes it a lot easier. And, you know, I think that's why, you know, the fourth quarter we've been so strong and we've dealt with a lot. But, you know, we've given out a lot.
Couple more minutes, Brandon Riley with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. With that adversity, can you be specific as far as what he put you through when you say grueling workouts? I can imagine what that would be, but specifically, can you take us through how it got you physically ready and mentally ready?
Yeah, you know, we do these metabolic lifts, they would call them, and, you know, there's trash cans lined up between every rack, and, you know, you'd see guys right after their set throw up, then they'd hop right back in, and guys weren't skipping sets, and, you know, it was very challenging, but, you know, it was also kind of fun, and usually did them on Fridays, so there's, you know, like the last big thing of the week, and you see other guys, you know, throwing up more weights, like, well, I'll add a little more on mine, and, you know, a lot of people kind of, you know, have, like, negative thoughts towards workouts like that, but, you know, especially the senior class and the young guys rallied, we saw it, you know, as an opportunity to, you know, get better, and, you know, if you make it fun, it's a lot easier to do stuff like that.
What do you want to pass on to not only the young receivers, but just a lot of talent in this program that haven't had a chance to step up yet, but their time will come? What's your message? How do you pay it forward?
You know, just watch how the older guys do it and their mentality each day and, you know, follow up. And, you know, I know this year we got some freshmen that are playing, and I think they've done that. And just, you know, I remember when I was young, you don't want to let the older guys down. So just have that mentality, you know, just stay quiet and put your head down and work. And I think that'll get people a long ways.
Who's an older guy you had a lot of respect for? I mean, you've talked about Kenny. Is there anybody else?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, I think of Rex and Amir, but those guys are pretty high above a lot of other people. Those are guys you just admire and watch. But, you know, a guy like Tim Marlowe, he also had a big impact on me because – early on, he's like, hey, do what I did. Learn every receiver position. It only increases your chances of getting on the field. And that's another thing that stuck with me and I've done over my years. And, you know, it's helped me get on the field more.
Have you enjoyed the slot spot?
Yeah, it's easier. That's why Jordan makes them look good.
Well, let's wrap up with your friend Jordan Westerkamp as we talk. And it's all over social media now, but you're wearing the red Nebraska Adidas jersey. You remember the first time you met Jordan?
Yeah, well, the first time I saw him was during a visit. I think he was on an official visit and I was on an unofficial visit because I wasn't very good in high school. And, you know, I saw him.
The Southwest teams were good.
Yeah, I wasn't nearly the player he was or am today. But, you know, I saw him, he had like a cutoff and a backwards hat, and I was like, God, who's this kid?
But, not a backwards hat guy?
No, I am, but it made him just seem like he was better than everyone else at the time. But once you get to know him, he's could not be further from that. And, you know, we always, like freshman year, I remember he'd always kind of be quiet and like, this kid's supposed to be super good. Why is he so quiet and, you know, stays to himself? And that's the kind of guy he is, and, you know, once you get comfortable with him, he opens up, and, you know, coming to college, I never really thought, you know, he'd be one of my close friends, and I can't thank him enough.
Why do you think he's quiet?
I think that's just how he was raised, you know. Don't be cocky, but you can be confident and respect everyone, and I think that's what he does. He respects everyone, and he's just a good dude.
Lastly, I'm Brandon Riley with his Hail Varsity Radio. How do you think you've left the program?
I'd say pretty positive. You know, I've had my ups and downs here, but throughout the years, I feel I've done a lot. And also, you know, those unrecruited walk-on kind of guys, I feel I give them some confidence. You know, if you get the opportunity, you know, take it and see what you can do with it.
Brandon, best to you, man. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yeah, no problem.
Good stuff from Brandon Riley. Good stuff from Zipline Brewing Company. They are Nebraskan, and they are Nebraska proud. Brewed in Lincoln and poured for all of Nebraska. If you haven't been to Zipline, find your way to Zipline. Gold medal winning copper alt, nationally recognized IPA. 40 different beers, and they'll have one you'll love. The tap room on Westo in Lincoln is open for you, and the new German Beer Hall, 56th and Pine Lake, 24 taps, neighborhood bar, community tables, Monday through Saturday, noon to 10 p.m., Sunday, noon to 6. And if you're out west or in central Nebraska, Zipline available on tap in six packs and at your local grocery store or bottle shop. Get to Zipline today here in Lincoln.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks to Brandon Riley. Thanks to Charlie McBride. Thanks to Michael Bruns. Thanks to Jay Moore for hanging out. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Tomorrow, Rick Pizzo, Kevin Suits, Ralph Brown, and Mitch Sherman of ESPN. What happened in your NFL yesterday? Carolina gives up a 17-0 lead.
Second time the Chiefs this year have come back from 17 points to win.
Who are these Tennessee Titans?
Packer
to drop 47 on Pork Bay. And then how about the Donkeys? They're going for two the hard way.
Guy jumps then over them. And
I had too much crap going on in the afternoon. Thank you, wife. So I didn't get to see Dallas and Pittsburgh. But awesome. I watched the highlights.
I saw second half. It was great.
Awesome football. Mm-hmm. Then last night we watched the whole thing. Seattle, 31-20 over the Fighting Tom Brady's. And I just don't get the irony and symbolism and drama of fourth and game at the one between these two teams, Seattle and New England. I don't get why you just don't. I'm glad it didn't happen because I'm playing him in fantasy. But give it to Scott Frost's best friend.
LeGarrette Blount.
Give it to LeGarrette. Let him just smoke through there, pun intended.
What does it say?
Versus the wrestling match between Cam and Gronk. I love watching that. That's great, but don't put the game in that play call's hands.
How about the QB sneak from like the three, though? I mean, Tom Brady is like one. Well, he fumbled twice. Yeah. Well, no, he didn't fumble that one time. The first play was the sneak from like the three.
Yeah.
And they Blount, third down, sneak it again. He fumbles. And the fourth down play was.
Cam Chancellor was awesome last night.
That was a good no call.
Yeah, it was.
There was just guys fighting.
But what has this world come to? And you were talking in hour one about it. Get a kick out of it.
Mm-hmm.
With the play calling on third and short.
Right.
Or fourth and
short. I think offensive coordinators just get too cute. They try to overthink them. Oh, they're
going to be expecting this, so I'm going to do that.
Right. But it's just, man, take the high percentage.
Make them stop you, even if they know it's coming.
I mean, you seen what Cowboys are able to. I mean, don't get me wrong. Cowboys have the best offensive line in football, hands down.
That was kind of a nice crease for Zeke.
During that last.
That last touchdown run.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's what can happen, though. When you get nine guys loaded up there, I mean, you're gone.
Gone. Yeah.
But even if you are going to run it three times in a row, I mean, if you can't get 1 yard three times in a row.
That's a new problem.
Yes.
Giants, Bengals. Who?
Oh,
Cincy minus one.
Is it in Cincy, obviously?
It's in New York.
No, it's in New York.
I need about 30 points from Eli tonight.
Always give me the home underdog.
Okay. And we'll give you caller six right now. for the Hail Varsity Premium subscription. Hail Varsity Premium subscription, caller six. Did I say that right? Caller six right now, 6 month giveaway for you. Premium online subscription to Hail Varsity. Caller 6466 377 6800 825-5865. What do you get with that premium online subscription? Of course, access to the message boards, insider info, recruiting analysis, breakdowns up to the minute. Caller 6 now, a free 6 month premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. Bird, we'll talk to you this week.
You bet it.
Find us at 4 tomorrow.